Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. Yes, it's the match preview show. Liverpool versus Brentford this Sunday. And who better to join me than two of my absolute favourite Red Men guests, Jamie Cranford and Abigail Rudkin, to talk all about it. We can forget about what happened in Toulouse, kind of, and we can focus fully ahead on the weekend, Jamie. And it was funny because beforehand, we were having a chat about a lot of random things. And then 5 minutes before the show, we said, you know what, let's have a little look at like Brentford. And they're really good. Liverpool having a disappointing performance at Luton and an underwhelming slash disappointment on Thursday. Brentford is a tough game to roll. You know, if there is a little bit of a lack of confidence, or you know, when we know there's a couple of injuries in the squad, etc., this is not an easy opponent to come up against in this situation.
No, we've had probably our two worst performances of the season back to back.
Yeah.
Struggled last night, midfield issues, defensive issues, and then I was kind of comforting myself by going, oh, Brentford actually haven't started that well, but they've won the last three. They were within a whisker of beating Man U at Old Trafford, which isn't really that much of an achievement anymore. So little dig. but they're playing pretty well. Obviously, we all know they've lost Tony. They've got a few injury worries, but they're not going to be an easy game. They get about you. They're fast, they're physical. I think Frank's a good manager. It looked on paper like, oh, this is the kind of game where Brentford, if you think, you look at the squad and there's still a lot of players that have come up from the Championship and you think, we should beat them. We've got to be beating them at home. But yeah, I can see it being a pretty difficult afternoon for us.
And also, Abby, it's fair to say, like, they have caused issues. Like, you know what I mean? Often at their place, it's fair to say, but even at home, it hasn't been plain sailing against Brentford for a lot of it. They are a different team, but what, again, and you've, obviously you've been in Anfield, and you might be this weekend, but like, you've seen, they almost play a little bit like, almost like an NFL or like a basketball team. Like, they are like set plays, and like, you know, the set pieces are brilliant, and like they have like certain moves and structures.
Yeah.
Thomas Frank's been on TV and explained it really well. Like they are a team who, they'll have had a whole week to just focus on Liverpool and go, how can we beat Liverpool? And they've had some joy against us in the past.
Yeah, I know. When you think about last season, I think they beat us 3-1 at their place, and then we just won 1-0 at home, I think, if I remember rightly, but it wasn't comfortable at all. I remember feeling on edge the whole time, although the side that we've got now completely different to what we had last season when you think about the midfield and things like that. But obviously, like you've said, we've got injury worries and suspensions and stuff like that to talk about. But it's, if there was a game to go into after last night, this isn't one that I'd have wanted, to be honest. This is one that I'd worry about, especially like you said, two of the worst performances that we've had this season, to go in against Brentford, who have got like the likes of Wissard and Mbeumo and players like that, who I am a little bit afraid of, who I actually have got in my fantasy footy, but I'll take them out against us. Like, you don't really want to be going into that game with that sort of mindset, but I am a little bit anxious. But like you said, with Anfield, it's different. It's always a different
kettle. If it was an away game, you would be even more concerned. Not that we're not now. Like, listen, Liverpool at home, they expect to win, Jamie.
Yeah.
They probably should win, but you are right to reference their running results. So they, obviously, since he got beat by Everton, which was a bad result for them,
yeah,
at home, they drew with Forest, which wasn't brilliant, but again, it was away. The Man United game was a shambles for them, and they were winning very late. United got two very late goals, didn't they? Scott McTominay decided to turn into Pele for like 5 minutes. But then they comfortably beat Burnley, they were comfortable against Chelsea, I thought they were in that game. I know it was the second came late on, but they were the better team. they do a little bit of a slobber knocker against West Ham, but come out on top. So what it does show, they've got goals in their team. You know, if you look at the league table as well, they're ninth, but they've scored 19 goals in 11 games. Now, again, a lot of teams above them have scored more, but they're still, they are a team who have got goals in them, and Buemo's obviously the key one. But,
yeah,
you know, if Liverpool aren't at it, if Liverpool play like they did against Luton or like they did against Toulouse, they would lose this game. I think it's fair to say Brentford, I've got enough in them to make it difficult if Liverpool aren't at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're a team that can sort of smell blood. You know, if we're playing like we were last night, they will really start going for it. I don't think Frank's the sort of manager who'll say, we'll just try and get to 0-0 on 80 and then see where we are. I think if they can see any complacency in us or lack of control in the midfield or sloppy defending, I think they will really go for it. I think it's crucial having Alisson and Van Dijk back, and we're not quite sure how our midfield's going to set up, but I think that was noticeable last night. There was that lack of organise, slightly last season vibes, I think, with some of the goals and some of the defending and some of the lack of control, kind of lack of decent build up in the midfield. So I'm looking forward to having Van Dijk back. Maybe Konate is going to come back. Certainly Alisson back. And I'd be interested to see how our midfield's going to line up, because we need to put in a much better performance in midfield especially, or we're going to really struggle.
It's worth mentioning, okay, I've got the Premier injuries up here. In Brentford, I was out a lot of players. So obviously, Lewis Potter's a doubt. Fleck and the goalkeeper went off at half-time last week. He had a bit of a dead leg. We'll see how he is. Potentially recover. We'll see how that one is. Josh De Silva looks like he'll be out. He's got a hamstring and he is a good player. Damsgaard looks like he's going to be missing. Sharda, we mentioned before, even Tony's banned. And then Aaron Hickey and Rico Henry are out. They're more long-term injuries for them. So Brentford have got issues as well. But it feels like they've had a lot of those issues for a while.
I think Henry's a bit of a kind of Robertson situation where he's just so far and away their first choice. They haven't really got a suitable replacement, so they've been rejigging it at the back. So maybe I think he plays down the left, don't they? So good time for Mo to kick back into gear, because I think he's been struggling even since the Everton game when he got the two goals. He hasn't been at his best the last maybe 3 weeks, so it'd be a good game for him to start really firing again.
Absolutely, but yeah, Brentford are going to be a dangerous opposition. With that being said, that'd be Liverpool at home, like you mentioned before. They'd be expected to win. The home record, to be fair to Liverpool, it's fantastic again. Yeah. Like they're back being Liverpool of old, where it's really, really difficult to get points at Anfield. It might not always be easy for the Reds, but they tend to get the job done. There are some issues. We'll go through the team now. We have to try and pick ourselves as a team. Van Dijk was ill. Looks like he should be. They expect that he'd be fine. He trained. He probably could have played. I'm guessing if last night was the Champions League final, he'd have played. I mean, I think he'd be all right. Alisson should be fine. Konate come back in, would you think, given that Matip started yesterday?
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't think he'd have started Matip if not. I think Konate definitely starts. Obviously, I'd start Trent and then Tsimikas. After that performance last night, it's just a little bit painful to imagine having to watch him play again. But, you know, I'm not going to be too sly, but it was terrible that last night.
The issue Liverpool have got, though, and we've got Dean Anthony in the YouTube, does Gomez start at left-back? The issue with Gomez at left-back, both of these are imperfect options, Jay, is that at least Tsimikas is a left-back.
Yeah.
Gomez was a right-back or a centre-back playing left-back. Against Luton, we found it really difficult. We couldn't get no attacks down there because he had no left foot.
Yeah.
If it's going to be Gomez, I don't think it can be Jota again. So a lot of it depends on what's in front of him. But given that cost, Jürgen, to be fair, when he hooks a player, and we're going to talk about Endo in a minute because he got hooked off as well yesterday. He doesn't tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater. He tends to give them another chance to redeem themselves. What do you think he's going to do at left back? And then secondly, what do you think he will do?
I think he will play.
What would you do, rather?
I think he'll play Tsimikas. I would probably just about play Tsimikas, I think, as you say, for that width, although he wasn't really offering that much width, and some of his crossing was abysmal last night. We're going to be expecting to dominate the ball. Whoever's playing on the left, he can offer that overlap. They may choose to target him, but as this is going back to the famous Lovren performance against Spurs all those years ago, It's like, if he hooks you, that doesn't mean you're on the naughty step for 3 weeks. He will often go.
I mean, that'd be crazy to go to Hoffing Gate in the first half of games. Like, it just means that it was that particular game. I don't think Jürgen holds grudges.
So, no, and he will often go, right, come on, you're straight back in, you know, prove me wrong or, you know, redeem yourself kind of thing. So I think he will start. Yeah, Konate should be back in. As for the midfield.
Sorry, but before I stop here, though, I want to stick on the Gomez thing. From a defensive point of view, Abby mentioned before, Mbeumo's their threat, and he will be playing on that right-hand side. So, I suppose it becomes a case of, how worried are you? Are you trying to stop Brentford, or are you trying to beat Liverpool? I still think Gomez, for example, could work if he's got Diaz in front of him, someone who's more likely to be, because Jota wasn't there, that was the problem he had, where there was no width on a bigger pitch. I don't know what the right answer is, but neither of them are perfect, but Mbeumo is the main threat that they've got, and that against Tsimikas, he would certainly fancy his chances.
I think whilst we have to afford them a lot of respect, I think that's a bit of a negative move, and it's, you know, like, oh, we would rather negate you than, and I know he's not perfect, but we're without Robertson until January, and possibly for who knows how long his rehab's going to take for that injury. I just think it's a big psychological blow to say, look, we don't trust you at home against a team who's around 10th to maybe bottom half. No, you can't be trusted because they've got a guy who is a good player, he's a fine player, but he's not getting in any World 11s, is he, on the right-hand side? So I just think it would be a bit of a psychological blow to Tsimikas if he's like, no, you've got to sit this one. Because then what do you do? Like, we can argue about the City game going forward, but I think his confidence has been, you know, rock bottom if he doesn't get picked on Sunday.
I don't think that's how Klopp works things either. I don't know, maybe with Nunes he benched him for a while to try and get him angry, but I don't really think that's what you should really be doing with a left back, in my opinion. I sort of feel like he's had a bad game there and we should sort of try and, you know, push him back into it at home, especially hopefully if the crowd sort of pick up a little bit. I mean, it's been not great at the minute, honestly. I don't think I've heard Anfield this quiet for a long time, but hopefully a little bit of a later kickoff, not an half 12, hopefully we can all sort of like get up for it. And I think he'll start Tsimikas. I can't really see him doing that to him.
I think he's a bit of a gambler, a bit of a risk taker, and I think he'd see it as, I'd rather have not, without the defensive solidity of Gomez, he can say, go and have a great game, go and you know, curl two beautiful crosses onto Nunez's head and like, you know, get two assists, or, you know, and then we're going to the international break, everybody's feeling a bit better about you, and you look, because he's on the verge of not being pickable for like games of reasonable importance, and that's not really a situation we can afford to be in.
I suppose
with Christmas coming up,
I suppose if Virgil's back, maybe that helps him a little.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, his mistake was rubbish, but I do wonder if it's Alisson and Van Dijk. With all due respect to Quansah and Keller, they're young kids finding their way. He might have got away with it, you know what I mean? Maybe Van Dijk could have stopped it. And it's one of them. But see, I'm torn, because Mbeumo does worry me. And that is their... I mean, they've got loads of threats, so don't get me wrong, and they're good at set plays. Do you want Gomez's aerial ability? I think he's going to pick Gomez, and I'm okay with it, provided it's not... And I love Jota, but I don't think Jota can play left in front of Gomez. I think the balance of the side, we saw that against Luton, we were the narrowest team of all time.
Yeah.
Diaz will come in. Diaz almost plays at left back sometimes. He stands on the halfway line. But we'll see how it goes. Diaz did play a lot of minutes. We'll get to it. The midfield's where the real, well, I say real issues, that is an issue, Abby, but there's more issues in midfield. So at time recording, there wasn't an official press conference ahead of Brentford, because Jürgen did it in a tent in Toulouse and he was pissed off. So we didn't get too much out of it. But obviously he said Jones is definitely out.
Yeah.
McAllister's suspended. We know there's no Thiago. We know there's no Bacetic. And Ryan Gravenberch's a doubt. He had a knee issue that prevents him playing last night. We'll see how he is for Sunday. He did do a bit of running, so there's a chance he might be back involved. Someone asked him about, like, is Trent a midfield option? That's where Liverpool are at now, in terms of, all of a sudden, they've gone from having loads, four go out, and you're like, oh, there might be a little bit short here. So he's got Szoboszlai, who'll play. Then he's got Endo and Elliot. Are the only two really who are fully fit? And then it depends on Gravenberch then. It's going to have to be Endo, isn't it? Because his number six options are McAllister, Bacetic. He's played Curtis there. He's out. It feels like, again, Endo's going to play. He didn't have a great game yesterday. No. He could have been sent off before he got took off. It's another opportunity for him. But again, it's time for Endo now to... You mentioned before about the manager putting him back in and earning your trust back a little bit. The manager speaks highly of him, but it's a big opportunity, but again, another big test against a very physical team.
It's just a shame about our last night win, because it sort of like diminished a bit of me faith in him a bit, to be honest. Like, obviously we were all sort of praising him after he only cost like, what, 11 million or something, might have even been a little bit more, and we were all fuming we didn't sign someone more expensive and a little bit younger. But I don't know, it's a difficult one. Just after seeing the way he played last night, it does give me a little bit of a shiver going in against Brentford. But at the same time, we've not really got that many options, and I don't think Jones is fit, is he?
Jones isn't fit, exactly,
so we haven't really got that many options. Gravenberch, I'd probably like to see him play if he can, but if he is injured, I don't really want to put him under too much pressure and then risk that getting worse. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I do think we'll see Elliot. I don't have a problem with Elliot playing at all, honestly. Like, I've got no beef there. So yeah, you'll probably see Szoboszlai is obviously going to be on the team sheet as well. I'd probably say he's one of the first names on the team sheet from now on in games like this.
Could do with picking it up as well though, Jake. It's the first time really that he's, and again, it's early days, he's a young player, and the expectations on Szoboszlai was like he's just going to be brilliant. That was never going to be the case. He is, I think it's fair to say, his last two performances, one was a start at Luton, and yesterday off the bench he wasn't great. But is the balance, how do you see the balance of an Endo, Elliot, Szoboszlai midfield? The height worries me a little bit, but to be fair, Endo is good in the air. But how do you see that working? Does Szoboszlai move over and play on the left hand side? Elliot on the right? If there's moving parts there, I'm not quite sure what the balance in theory. A DM with a number eight who attacks well in Szoboszlai, the number eight who's industrious in Elliot. Could work, I suppose.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I think Elliot looks so much better on that right side. So I think Szoboszlai should move, and I think he's got the game to play pretty much wherever he wants across.
Kind of does anyway, doesn't he?
Endo's got to play. There aren't really any other options. The only other thing, which would be a real left field one, would be Gakpo with Ace, which he has played a couple of times. But
Szoboszlai six. That's not going to work.
I don't think we're going to see
Ahmed says here, what about Trent in the DM? Jürgen was asked that in the press conference, because he could in theory go Trent in midfield. He did it against Bournemouth, Trent played effectively in midfield, and then you could put Gomez on the right and Kostas left. It is an option if he's worried about Endo. But again, you talked before about the trusting, if you say to Endo all the DMs are injured and we're putting a right back in there, you're almost killing him as well, aren't you? It's a difficult
small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, and he also said in his press conference today, Endo will play Premier League, you know, he will play more Premier League minutes, so... I feel like it's got to be Endo. And also, the good thing about them being so crap is him and Tsimikas is they'll be fresh for this.
So they've had half a game, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's basically... But well, unless Gravenberch is fit and is absolutely raring to go, I think that's our only option, Endo.
He could play six, couldn't he? There was talk, Abby, when we signed him, that he was an option at six. Yeah. Again, you know, like, we don't know if it, all Jürgen said was he missed the game with a knee issue, but he was out running. Yeah. That was on Wednesday. The game isn't until Sunday. If he trains Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I don't know if he trained yesterday, obviously, with the game, you know, but he might have been at the Axel, he probably would have been. If he can get through some sessions Friday, Saturday, maybe he becomes an option. Jürgen did say when we signed him, he could play as a six. We haven't seen him, of course, do you? It does feel like a little bit like,
it's a bit of a big game to be throwing him in the six, I think, you know, trying to get points on the table after two really bad performances against Luton and Toulouse. I don't really think that's the game that you test that out. Do you know what I mean? And it's also the same with Trent in that sort of DM position. I just don't feel like it's the game where you should start be like, test it. I know like everyone's saying we're still in the transition phase, but like when you look at the table, it's a lot closer than you think it is. So whatever's the most solid decision, but then after Endo's performance, I'm a little bit like, is that even a solid decision? So do we just go for it with the likes of Gravenberch? But I don't think he'll take a risk like that. I don't think he will. I think we'll just see Endo.
So we think
position.
It's going to be Endo, Szoboszlai, and then one of Gravenberch or Elliot, depending on Gravenberch's fitness.
It's hard to predict Klopp, because whenever there's like a kind of, hey, it's a left field idea, why don't we play, you know, Joe Gomez up front, or you know, whenever there's some like, which gets a bit of backing maybe online or in the pub, you're like, oh, I'd like to see such and such, and then you think,
Trent in midfield has been that for forever, mate.
He stubbornly refuses not to do it, but then there's like, do you remember, like, there's those derby matches where Origi would always start, or there'd be some dead important game. It's like, oh,
that pose in the field.
Shaqiri's in for this. And like, we haven't seen Shaqiri for 6 weeks, or you know. Yeah. So sometimes he does just throw these odd ones in. But I still think it's going to be Endo and Szoboszlai and Harvey Elliott.
If Gravenberch can't go, maybe we'll see how he is. Hopefully, if he's fit enough, he might play, and then not. And then your bench, you might have Elliott on the bench. He's been a very good sub for us. Right, then up front is the next questions. Then we've got a comment here from Carl, who said a few players are worryingly off form at the moment. I don't think that really applies up front. Salah maybe, but he's still scoring and getting assists or chances to assist. Gakpo has been injured and has been up and down. I'm looking at the team, Abby. And I'll tell you what I would do. I would go Salah, Diaz, Jota.
Would you?
Is what I would do right now. I think Jota's the best in terms of goal scoring. But again, Jota's a really good sub. Yeah. And do you want Darwin and his physicality against? I don't know. And listen, I wouldn't be. There's no bad combination of those five, which is a good thing, really. You can do whatever you want to do with them and you'll be fine. But what would you do?
Like we were saying on the match build-up last week, like with Dan and that, like I'm so comfortable with up front with all those options. I mean, I know people have been struggling at the minute, but there's never a lineup that comes out where I go, oh, why has he put Gakpo or Diaz? Do you know what I mean? I'm not, maybe last week with Diaz with what was going on with his dad, but obviously those things have been resolved now, so I don't have that ongoing concern. I don't think anyone's played well the last two games, so I'm trying not to, like, based off those performances, but I probably wouldn't go for Jota. I'd probably say Diaz, Nunes, Salah. I mean, Salah's obviously going to be on the team, even though he has been poor. I mean he got two against Devon, it was the worst I've seen him play ever.
Should have had an assist against Luton when he wasn't great.
Exactly. I mean there's no argument Salah's position is there, really.
Lukaku's here. Would you worry about Cody Gakpo left for a bit again? I think he could do a job there, but I think if it's going to be Gakpo, then it has to be Costas.
I brought that up last night, but I said maybe in the other two Europa League games, because I don't think Gakpo's been playing very well. For, I know he's been injured. He scored the odd goal, like 2 yards happened, which is fine. But the things that he showed us at his best, where you're like, oh, I can really see why they've paid for him, I don't think he's been showing the last few times he's been in the team. So I don't think he'll do it this guy. I would like to, we were saying last night, I'd like to see Jota down the middle like you. I think maybe I think Jota has to start.
For me, it looks like, given what we saw yesterday with Diaz playing, so he played pretty much right till the end until Jota's come on for him. If you base it off that, which it's never easy, it looks like it's going to be Salah, Jota, Nunes.
Yeah.
In which case, Jota's playing on the left again. And that might hint at, does he go back to Costa? I don't know, but the subs, I'll be telling you, if you're looking at just pure who played on Thursday, how much minutes they got, who started and who didn't, it seems to suggest that might be the case, which it sounds. There's goals. They're probably that's got the most goals, isn't it? I think it's fair to say. So, I'd say there's no wrong option. It's just what you think's best for this particular game. I don't know. There's no bad combination. I think Jota deserves a start. I'd like him up front. I think he deserves a start.
I understand what you're saying, but then at the same time, I don't know. The thing with Diaz is I sort of think he'll thrive off game time, and I know he's played a lot recently and he's had a lot going on. I sort of like the thing with Jota when you see that he's coming on when we're struggling.
He's a great sub.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that's in the back of my mind. And it's sort of similar with what you're saying with Elliot. Sometimes you do want to imagine him on the bench because you know he'll come on and he'll sort of thread those passes through to Salah and stuff if we are struggling. But I don't know why. I just feel like game time for Diaz at the minute is probably a good thing, especially with everything that he's had going on. I just personally think that. And then I think Nunes definitely down the middle for me.
Absolutely not, mate. Again, there's no real bad option. I'm not going to repeat what we always say, but it's always for us to pick your poison. But
yeah,
if it was on form, it would probably be Gakpo who's missing out, and then any three of the Salah players, so we know that, and then it's two from the others, really.
I think it's on form, Jota has to play.
Yeah.
But I think he's playing the best of our front five at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. But
I reckon it'll be him on the left and Nunez.
Before we, we'll see how it goes. I think he's going to go Jota, Nunez, Salah, but we'll see how it goes later. I'd be all right with that. I think I would put Jota up front. I'd leave Darwin out, but I'm not against him starting. He's obviously got a goal threat as well. Let's have a little, before we start, predictions and stuff, guys, let's have a little look what else is happening in the Premier League this weekend. Obviously, Liverpool coming off the draw last weekend, want to get back to winning ways. Tomorrow afternoon, 12:30, Tottenham go to Wolves, full of suspensions and injuries. Not going to be easy for Spurs. Obviously, Liverpool trying to get above Spurs in the table. I mean, who knows, Jay? You could expect Spurs should win, but we saw them go to, did they go to Burnley and have a man? They were a man down, Spurs, and they just battle through it. They're showing a little bit of resolve, or they have been. But then the other day was a shambles. They lost Maddison, they lost Van der Ven, they got the suspensions, obviously, to Romero and Udogi. It's not like this is the proper first, like, real hurdle that they've had to come across. I wonder how they get on at Wolves.
Big test of character, that. Not a game you fancy. You want Bournemouth at home or Luton at home or something. You know, we struggled there. It was we ended up playing well second half, but they were all over us first half. I think Neto's out, isn't he, at the moment? So, yeah. But even still, it can turn into a bit of a bear pit there. And it's not a place you want to go if you're feeling sorry for yourself and all this. I don't think VAR, I think the two players that got sent off were lucky to still be on the pitch even when they got sent off. They had a bit of a collective loss of heads. Yeah. You know, I mean, the nine-man halfway line defending thing was quite funny. it was one of the most mad games I've seen in years. But yeah, it could. I think we it's a sort of game we have to take. I don't think they're going to win the league, but we have to really take them seriously. If they go and win 2-0, 3-0, no trouble, then it's like, no, this is a decent team.
Man United go to Luton. Sorry, Man United play Luton elsewhere. You've got Arsenal, Burnley, you'd expect Arsenal to win that one, I guess. Palace, Everton could be anything. Bournemouth, Newcastle's interesting, another test for Newcastle trying to get over the Champions League stuff. But they're only they're only 4 points behind us now. They've kind of got their league season underway. They've had a little bit of a kickstart, so not easy Bournemouth, but again, you'd expect them to win.
Yeah, you'd expect them to be
Villa, Fulham at home, probably should win, but we've seen Villa the other week just have a little post-European slip up.
They've thrown a few mad ones in, Villa, haven't they, as good as they've looked?
Suppose the biggest one we're looking at in terms of obviously around us, obviously City going to Chelsea on Sunday afternoon. Chelsea again feeling a little bit better about themselves after what they got against Spurs. City and Chelsea in the past, but this is where a game that we've looked at when we've been chasing City going, can you go and lose at Chelsea? And sometimes they have. Remember the N'Golo Kante scream a goal and all that. They've done it, but I don't think it's a bad time as a Liverpool fan to get City going Chelsea, because Chelsea feel like they might just be turning somewhat of a corner.
Yeah.
City probably win because they always do, but it's not the easiest game for them to have after playing in Europe as well.
Possibly based on the last result, you could see maybe Chelsea getting something there, but based on City's form, like, I don't even know how somehow they're playing better even without De Bruyne. It's like ridiculous, do you know what I mean? So I can't see it now. I don't know. I'm trying not to put too much hope on it. It depends what we're going for, really. I try and tell myself that I'm like hoping that we win the title, but then I'm like, just focus on top four. Don't be getting ahead of yourself. Don't constantly be checking City scores. Do you know what I mean?
I'm doing it.
We're all doing it.
I'm just thinking about Chelsea form. I mean, Chelsea form big games, Jamie, because they've had some mad losses. Like, they got beat up, didn't they, Brentford? But like, they drew with us. They drew with Arsenal. It was the 2-2 game. Then they go and beat Tottenham. they have had results against the bigger teams. It's been like they got let down. Like again, they got beat by Brentford. And they've had some mad ones. West Ham was, but like they've had, or when they've had to play against a big team, whether at home or away from home, they've tended, Pochettino's tended to get something out of his lads. So if you, if there's a game where you're pinpoint, like if the aim is to catch City, which it should be until it's impossible not to,
yeah,
Chelsea away is one where you look at, where you hope that's something could happen there.
I think it's not out of the question. I think some of the, they might be on the edge of a bit of form. I think Sterling's playing quite well.
Yeah,
sure. I think he shouldn't have been left out of the England squad. Not that, whatever. Mm-hmm. not gonna talk about England. Palmer looks to be fitting in well.
Oh yeah, a couple of grudges there, isn't he? I forgot to call Palmer Raheem Sterling revenge games.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm building the narrative here. I'm getting excited.
Enzo started well. They could do something, but then on the same token,
it's so unpredictable.
This game, I don't know if it was two or three. It was either two seasons or three seasons ago. City started poorly, and then they went away to Chelsea, and they won. I think it was 2-0, but they absolutely wiped the floor with them. And it was around this time, maybe December, and I thought, uh-oh. And then they went on like a 16-17 game unbeaten run. So this could be a game where they're just, City are just in cruise control. I don't know. Hopefully not.
Ironically, Abby, if you were an Arsenal fan, if this was, thank God this is not Arsenal fan TV, but if this was Arsenal fan TV, I'd be shouting at you, but then I'd say, if you'll be looking at, you thinking City could drop points, you're thinking Spurs could drop points, and you'd be thinking Liverpool could drop points against Brentford. You'd be looking at those if you were an Arsenal fan, thinking, we've got Burnley at home, we should win.
Yeah.
It's all well and good saying that. Man, who knows how the Premier League works. But Arsenal were the ones looking this week going, this could be our move.
Mm.
Liverpool really could do, if Liverpool win this game, no matter what happens, really, Arsenal, who kind of cares, that they should beat Burnley.
Yeah.
But if you was an Arsenal fan, you'd be looking at the three above you, thinking, they could all feasibly drop points there. We've got the easiest game.
Yeah, probably. This is probably the week where they are looking at it, where they're thinking we could maybe move up here. But I don't know. I feel like people aren't going to be writing us out against Brentford after those results. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone's going to be thinking that we're not going to win it. I mean, I still think that we're going to win it when we come up to games like that, but I do know what you mean. But I'm trying not to think about how tight it is at the top of the table at the minute, especially after dropping points against the likes of Luton, and then that result against Spurs, things like that really piss me off when I start looking at the table, because I'll just get so annoyed if we drop points this week and then like Spurs drop points or City drop points. That's when you start getting really pissed off with the way that we're performing, when we're not capitalising on things like that. But Arsenal against Burnley, they should walk that, really.
Burnley look really poor. Vincent Kompany's having a struggle there. Right, then you mentioned you're confident we're going to win, then I'll be kind of push you for a prediction.
I'll say 2-1.
That sounds awful.
I know.
That sounds horrendous. I know. Excruciating.
I reckon we'll go a goal down and then Nunes will score too.
It's even worse. Well, no, it does. That sounds like me and Edel on the watch along in injury time, and the assistant puts like 7 minutes up and we're like, fuck. Trying to hold on. But it does. I can see that. I can definitely see it.
I was going to say 2-0, but I can see them scoring, yeah.
Yeah, so fine.
2-1. Why are we all saying 2-1?
I'm going to say 3-1, but the third goal comes late.
Yeah,
like a counter when they're trying to push for an equaliser. I hope I'm wrong. I just don't think it's going to be comfortable.
No,
Thomas Frank's they're not, very rarely do you get an easy rollover, like, you know, tickle your bellies kind of game, like Nottingham Forest kind of give us a little
bit
of that.
We've beaten them every time in the league at home, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, and we're saying, like, if we were Arsenal fan TV, the lads next door at Toffee TV, they'll all be saying, you've absolutely walked her.
Yeah.
I think most of the fans of other teams will be going, oh, they'll definitely win that. So maybe we're being a bit harsh on ourselves, but 2-1 tight.
I'm just looking, since obviously they come back in the league, didn't they? We've only played them twice in the league since they come back into it, of course. The 3-0 and the 1-0. It's been away from home. That mad 3-3 draw.
Yeah.
And obviously last year we lost the 3-1. So yeah, at home. But I even remember that 3-0, and I don't think it was particularly comfortable. Like it was one of those games where they do cause you problems. I'm just going back to it now. Yeah, we scored just before half time. And then it took like till the 17th
Chamberlain
minute
for Chamberlain,
and then Taki got one late on. It wasn't an easy game.
No.
It is one that you've got to, again, if Liverpool don't, there are some games I think Liverpool can play poorly at home and win. I'm not convinced that's the case this weekend. Yeah, I think you have to beat, and Liverpool are more than capable of playing well, but I don't think this is one where you're going to come out of it and go, everyone was a 5, but we managed to win 1-0 or 2-0. A bit like that West Ham game last year when somehow we won that. I don't get that sense here.
Could do with a nice Sobersly 30 yarder, your fella. Have a word with
him. Apparently, I know.
Have a word with him.
Ever since you messaged him, he's been shit.
It's my fault. I'm distracting him. I'm
a conspiracy theory,
He's distracted. No, get him back. But Luke is going for a 3-2 in the chat. We've got Stephen going for a low block, scrappy 1-0. Yeah, that wouldn't be a huge shock either if that was the case.
Many 4-0s and 5-0s.
No. Chris is going for a 3-1. Having said that, mate, you say that, Tom? Have to come
there
back.
There we go. Well, in Tom's gone like
for
it,
a,
yeah.
Tom says going for a 4-0 back with a bang. There's what you guys think. That's what us lot think as well. If you're watching this after the fact, do let us know in the comments section your score predictions. If you're listening to it as a podcast, you can contact us on all of the socials. I've said this. Sorry, turn that off, mate. Come back. I'm finished. Come back. There we go. Before we wrap up, I want to let you guys know, and I've said it on a few shows now already, but yes, tickets are now on sale for our live shows over in Belfast and Dublin next spring. We're heading your way, so check out the Red Men social accounts or go to ticketmaster.ie. We're heading over in March 2024, but honestly the tickets are already selling out pretty quick, which is fantastic. Thanks so much to everyone who's ever bought one already. But yeah, if you're in the Dublin, Belfast areas and you want to see us next spring, then yeah, go over now and get your ticket. It's going to be an absolute belter. Right, you can bring our names back up now, Aaron. There we go, bring it up. There we go. Thanks to Abby, thanks to Jamie, thanks for you guys for watching or listening. Come and join us on Sunday for the watch along. It's me, Elle and Dan. If you're at the game, keep an eye out for Paul, Chloe and Chris and all their amazing content too. And yeah, we'll see you next time on the match preview. So see you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.